And on the international political stage, Britain continues to work to strike a deal on how to leave the European Union. For more on that, we go to our colleagues now at the BBC who fill us in on the biggest stories around the world to watch for each week. This morning, I'm joined by Rich Preston from London, who will begin by filling us in with the latest on Brexit. So, Rich, tomorrow, I know, was supposed to be a big day in this process. Tell us where we are this morning.
Yes, that's right, Lauren. There's due to be a key vote in Parliament on the deal that the Prime Minister, Theresa May, says she's reached with Europe over how Britain will go about leaving the EU. But just this morning, it looks like the whole vote has been postponed. Now, just a reminder, the Brexit vote itself, the referendum on our membership of the European Union, was back in 2016. And at the end of March last year, 2017, Theresa May invoked what's called Article 50, which is the mechanism by which a member state can withdraw from the bloc. Now, that started a clock ticking. 2 years to tie up all your loose ends and get out. After months of back and forth, Theresa May said last month that she'd reached an agreement with EU leaders on how Britain would withdraw from the UK. And this is the agreement that has to be formally signed off by both sides before the UK can even start to negotiate its future relationship with the EU. But many in the House of Commons said from the start that they didn't like the deal Theresa May had got. It was criticised by MPs across Parliament. Lawmakers were supposed to vote on the deal tomorrow and whether they supported it, but now that's unlikely to happen.
So what's next?
Honestly, who knows? Sources say Theresa May will go back to Brussels and try and haggle for a better deal. Whether she'll get it is anyone's guess. EU leaders have said repeatedly that this is the best deal they're willing to agree to. And remember, that clock is still ticking. We are due to leave March 29th, 2019. So it's anyone's guess what happens after that. It could prompt a vote of no confidence in Theresa May and see her replaced by another MP from her own party, and therefore also her departure as Prime Minister. It could even trigger a general election, especially if the opposition Labour Party are adamant they could get a better deal in the few months remaining. Or the whole thing can just end up in a political black hole, and before we know it, March has arrived and we're forced to leave the EU without an agreement. Now, without meaning to sound all doom and gloom, there are many for whom that wouldn't be a problem. Lots of British people who voted for Brexit say they did so to get away from bureaucracy in Brussels. They don't like the idea of a prolonged divorce period and by Britain spending another 2 years tied up in EU terms and treaties. They want the UK out of the EU as soon as possible, and doing so without an agreement is fine by them.
Okay. All right, so now for something a little different. Later this week, the US is returning a set of church bells that have become very important for the Philippines. What's this all about?
Yeah, this is due to happen on Saturday. Now, these are a set of church bells that were taken back in 1901 during a war fought between the US and the Philippines. American troops were ambushed by rebels one morning, and the church bells were used to sound the start of the attack. In response, the American general said that all Filipino males over the age of 10 in the village should be killed. He was later court-martialed for that. Now, this whole event's much forgotten in American history, but very much remembered in the Philippines. The Americans took the bells from the village, Balangiga, as something of a war trophy and to commemorate the American troops who died. Two of them ended up on a US base in Wyoming and a third one in South Korea.
So these bells have become really important for the Philippines.
Yes, very significant, and there have been calls for decades for the bells to be returned. It's something the current president, Rodrigo Duterte, even included in a State of the Nation speech, calling them part of the country's national heritage. And over the past few years, Congress has gotten involved too. Back in November, Defense Secretary James Mattis promised the bells would be returned, and it's happening this Saturday.
All right. And finally, Wednesday, a special day is being marked by the United Nations. And this is something we can either dislike or like.
Yeah, your choice on this one, Lauren. Now, political polarisation has become something of the norm here in Britain, as discussed re-Brexit, and also on your side of the pond. So the UN's created an International Day of Neutrality, so a relatively new day on the international calendar. And the UN's decided that neutrality is something they need this special day to observe and to celebrate. It says that being neutral is one of the necessary tools for preventing conflict and for mediating disputes when they do happen. And actually, it's something that forms part of the UN Charter. Member states are expected to settle their international disputes by peaceful means and refrain from threats or the use of force in their relations. So the UN says this neutrality needs to remain a core value to keep the organisation capable of fulfilling its mission. So something you can choose to celebrate on Wednesday or not.
Or not. All right. That is the BBC's Rich Preston joining us from London. Rich, thanks as always.
Thanks, Lauren.